ஓம் நம சிவாய். டியர் லிசனர்ஸ் ஆஃப் சைவம் டாட் ஆர்க், தி நெக்ஸ்ட் ப்ரோக்ராம் இஸ் ஸ்பிரிச்சுவல் டிஸ்கோர்ஸ். இன் திஸ் யூ ஆர் அபவுட் டு லிசன் கவாய் ஹிந்து லெக்சர்ஸ். தி டைட்டில்ஸ் ஆர் மென்டோரிங் கெமிக்கல் சயாஸ், பிரசன்டட் பை ஸ்ரீ சத்குரு சிவாய சுப்பிரமணிய சுவாமி. தேங்க்யூ. ஓம் நம சிவாய.
Today, Kwarinam, November 5th, we began the day awakening 3:45, as usual. So wonderful to breathe the morning air. It has something different in it than later on in the day. Try it sometime, if only for a minute before you go back to bed. But this is the time to perform sadhana, to get the most out of your meditation. Well, then we had a beautiful fire puja invoking God and the gods, and we welcomed formally Paramacharya Bodhinatha, Sivanadiyar Nilakanta, back from a 2-month journey to India, Malaysia, Singapore, Mauritius. They had a wonderful time. We still have two Madhavasi, these are monks, in California, fundraising for the Iravan Temple. They are very successful. Today we want to talk about mentoring. We feel that every young person needs a mentor. This means someone to show them what the world is like. I had that when I was growing up, several mentors. They need to go through factories. They need to visit the county jail. They need to talk to the warden. They need to go on a cruise ship. They need to go into the kitchens in a restaurant, see what that's all about. Their questions need to be answered. With a mentor is like a private tutor or a friend who's an adult. They need to be taken to big hotels and show how the rich live. They need to be taken to the slums, show how the poor live. They need to be taken on the streets at night to see how the street people live. They need to be taken here and there and everywhere. One of the training we have for our Madhavasi is to go to court. The low court, the medium court, the high court, appellate court, listen to trials. They have to go to funeral parlors and look at corpses. They have to broaden their mind and find out through observation what life is all about. Are we doing this to our children in your homes, all of you in cyberspace, looking in to our ashram today? Probably not. Probably mother is too busy in her occupation working for other guys, and dad's too busy in his occupation with his secretaries, and the home is like a hotel, but not like a hotel because there's no staff. Coming home is chaos, and the children are in the middle of that chaos. They're growing up. One part of their brain developed and the other part of their brain's brain dead. One part is creative and the other part keeps track of what's been created. We have to reverse this situation. And we try to do this here at Kwai Arinam. We have young men coming from our church families. We're in third generation now. They're coming for 6 months, and they're visiting our 5 family schools. They spend about 1 month in each school. Surely they use their talents and help a little bit, but they are observing how Hinduism today is created, how a cow is milked, how a garden is planted, how money is budgeted. We are on a cash basis. We don't run up debts. We don't run up bills. We don't make a credit card charge that we do not have money in the bank a month before. to pay for it when the bill comes in and that money is gaining interest. How about that? Is that good management? And they learn that. They learn how to receive a guest, how to entertain a guest, how to feed a guest, how to perform holy sacraments and ceremonies within their own home, how to give a talk, how to speak out, how to sit quietly for half an hour or 45 minutes or an hour during our morning meditations, how to chant in Sanskrit, food blessing chant. They learn all these things quite naturally in an informal, non-threatening way. We don't have any serious classes. People aren't lined up in front of teachers. Everyone is helping everyone else, especially the young people. Mentoring is an important part, or the most important part of education, because real learning is through observation and then developing what has been observed from within oneself. Real education is not simply memorizing from a book and repeating it back. What kind of person does that create? A robot person? Emotionally immature person? Yeah, you got it. That's what it creates. Think about exposing your young people to bring out their great potential of their soul, rather than forcing them into one position or another, even that if it does not suit their nature. Well, I'll be seeing you meditate on this subject of mentoring or caring for the next generation so we have a better world tomorrow. I'll be seeing you in our familiar place, which is right here through your computer screen. Today at Kwari Nam is November 6th. It's quite a day. We have our Acharya Palani Swami and Yogi Yogananda departing for a convention on AIDS in the Midwest, sponsored by the Ford Foundation. They're inviting religious editors of all the faiths together to talk about this very important subject. Also, Rajkumar and Ananda are getting married today at the Siva Vishnu Temple in Livermore, California. Congratulations to you both. Today I'm giving an introductory talk about chemical chaos and reading parts of it for our friend Marilyn Wong. Marilyn, we saw you on television yesterday at the county council meeting working out your grant for $50,000. Congratulations, you looked great. Marilyn is in charge of the Coalition for Drug-Free Kauai. Now, why on this beautiful island do we have to worry about drugs? Well, we do. It's all over the world. It's a chemical chaos. Before they were invented, life was very nice in America. Then in 1964, everything changed. The Hindu Swamis all got together and decided to stand up against LSD and to say that it was not good substitute for meditation. Our elder Swami in the United States, Swami Satchidananda, met with Albert and Leary, and they said to him, "We will make you a great Sivanyani. You will be a great prophet. Just take some of this LSD." He said, "I never really wanted to be a great prophet. I really wanted to be a medical doctor or a surgeon. Give me a pill for that." they necessarily went away a little bit disappointed because he was not on their side and neither was I. I like to paraphrase and read just a little bit about an inspired talk that I gave and circulated into all the hands of those who were leaders of the drug movement at that time, and that time drugs were legal. It begins in this way. We have a new race of people. I call them LSD people. They are a brand new race of people that have manifested in bodies already in existence. Their feelings are different. They have different relationships with their family, and a great gap has occurred between them and their parents. They're just like a race from another country that had moved in among us, started to live with us, and we are having to adjust to them. We cannot say that the psychedelic experience is good. We cannot say the psychedelic experience is bad. In institutions in Menlo Park, it's being tested by scientists. But we can say that it is an experience that has occurred to thousands and thousands of people. I do not encourage you or anyone else to take mind-altering drugs. I encourage everyone to continue with the slow process of yoga. I want to awaken you to the fact that there is a new race of people among us who have an entirely different approach to life. LSD puts a strain on the nerve structure. The individual then goes into shock and has a difficult time adjusting to normal routine. I am asking that the LSD movement be stopped. All the Hindu Swamis are asking that the LSD movement be stopped. I'm asking the leaders of it to stop. For the sake of the protection of the youth against a drastically abrupt awakening that is going to open them eventually to the lower realms of the mind, which will be beyond their ability to handle, and later on, beyond the ability of the law to handle. You've heard of obsessions, you've heard of possessions. When a young person is opened up, he can be obsessed. He can be possessed and impelled to do things he had no intention of doing simply because his nerve system is sensitive and open to the various lower forces of hate, greed, mistrust, fear, and malice. So we are all asking and putting in a plea to stop the movement so that the youth are protected and can go forward in their evolution and life in a normal way. I'm pleading to the intelligence, the innate intelligence of the older souls and the educated people that are involved with the movement to help stop the movement. Because when a movement gets going, built around a couple of men who have some intelligence, then it becomes a society that has to have its own laws and its own forms of discipline. As this society grows and gains power, it becomes too large to handle, eventually gets out of control. Then we have, and will have, chemical chaos. I do not want to see a nationwide movement built around a little bit of acid. I do not want to see that because of the young people who will be involved. When the mind is open to the higher forces of consciousness, it is simultaneously opened to the lower forces because the whole mind has been opened up in the same process. There are great mood swings, elation, anger, happiness, depression. So then, where is the protection? A guru can protect his devotees in the opening up process by closing off the lower as the higher opens. It is the young people that are going to suffer immediately. But as time goes on, right now the movement is still young, so I'm asking, we are all asking that the LSD movement be stopped. And we're asking the leaders of it to stop it for the sake of the protection of the young people most especially. We do not need any more turn on. So I say enough has gone far enough, and before anything drastic happens, it should be halted. The movement is going through the young minds of the 19-year-olds, the 20-year-olds, young impressionable minds. No education, no foundation that goes along with it. There will be a chemical chaos, we predict this, and young people will come out of it beyond repair. It is when the LSD hits the streets and made available to one and all. We will see in the future hundreds of thousands of people groveling on the streets if this is allowed to continue. That was a talk that I paraphrased while reading, given in 1964. 34 years ago, that's a long time ago, and we've all seen the chemical chaos that has happened and now has become a way of life. What shall we do about it? We're asking all the young people to understand what is happening in the world around you. Just say no. We're preparing a little CD to give away freely. This we'll use as an introduction, along with a series that I have recently given, which you have heard, that are on our cyberspace ashram. And I know that I'm talking to people out there in cyberspace who are listening, who have been listening, who are gaining knowledge. We have people tuning in from Italy and India and many countries of the world, including Australia, Norway, Sweden, France, and of course United States. We don't want chemical chaos to continue. Let's be cool about it. Let's quiet it down. And each one of us in our sphere of influence, and you too, can put a stop to this by teaching the young people to say no. Get to know the friends and the parents of your children and be sure they mix with good company. That is the responsibility of every parent. Today at Kwarinam, welcome. It's November 7th and our little delegation is now at the AIDS for Religions of the World Convention, sponsored by the Ford Foundation. It is in Atlanta, Georgia. In Atlanta, Georgia. They're doing really well. They're showing the Hindu point of view of how to face death. That it is a wonderful thing to know when you're going to die. Most people don't. And you can prepare for the great journey within and prepare for the great journey back into physical birth. Well, today we're going to do something different. I see many, many faces out through cyberspace. Some of you look really wonderful, but I think others of you have got the idea that I'm saying something about drugs. You might be using drugs. You might be using them this very moment. It don't look so good, but listen, just don't turn off your television right now. Hang on. Listen, we have a message for you. This is going to be very unusual today because we are going to interview Sinyasin Arumugaswamy, who's here with us, who has just visited the chief of police here on the Garden Island of Kauai and the warden of the jail. And he's talked to some of the inmates who have been using ice. Now, this is not the kind of ice that you make in your refrigerator. It's a very different kind of ice. He's going to explain it to you. Now, you might be wondering why we're doing this. Why are we talking about drugs? Why can't you be talking about higher things in your ashram? Well, we also, our publishers of Hinduism Today, an international magazine that is guiding the Hindu peoples of the world, especially the new generation. Many of them are involved in the drug movement all over the world. We reach many, many countries. So we have a very broad perspective, and we're doing an issue in Hinduism Today. But we're also making a CD as unofficial partners in the coalition of Drug-Free Kauai as a gift for our dear friend, Ms. Marilyn Wong. Now, Arumugha Swami, speak out. Tell us all you know.
Thank you, Gurudeva. Well, at your suggestion, we began by speaking with the chief of police, Freitas, who is the in charge of the police department here on Kauai. And it was from him that we first learned that they considered the greatest problem on the island methamphetamine, although other drugs are present here and have been for a long time, including cocaine, heroin.
Would that be ice, this amphetamine?
Yes, it's called ice. Something that's made and started in Asia some years back. It was something that was changed amphetamines into something vastly more powerful that the police chief said that it's so powerful that people on the mainland are even afraid of it, but for some reason it's taken a special hold here in Hawaii, and now it's also gaining a hold in the mainland too.
Just paraphrase a few things that our chief of police, who happens to be practically our next-door neighbor, what did he have to say?
Well, one of our main concerns was the youth. And he said, well, the first problem is that the parents aren't involved with their own children. They know they came home from school on Friday night, and they don't see them again until Sunday night, and they don't know what's going on. They have parents here working two and three jobs, and the children don't have the luxury of a stable home life that I remember that the chief said when he was a youth. In his estimation, it's really tough to grow up. Stability isn't there for the children, and they go off to these weekend parties on the island here, and it starts with alcohol, and then they get on to drugs, and there's assault, and see, 200 people will be on a beach someplace with alcohol and illegal drugs, and this is what these children are doing on the weekends when they don't have any parental guidance or any reason to be home, or it even seems that their parents necessarily know that they're missing. Now, he went on to explain some of the consequences of drug use. One of the most drastic, of course, is arrest and incarceration, but there's also the asset seizure laws that are very stringent, where if you have drugs on your property or growing drugs on your property and you have knowledge of it, the police can seize your house or seize your car or whatever is involved in the drug deal. Traffic officers, he mentioned, are now being trained to recognize people on drugs who are driving, and this carries the same penalty as drunken driving, driving under the influence, and people can lose their license right away because of it, aside from getting arrested for the drugs. He said that we can see what might happen in the future on Kauai because he worked on in an inner city in the Bay Area, in the East Bay, I believe. There was an entire population of children who were born addicted to rock cocaine, and they were now all being raised by their grandparents because the whole generation of parents had disappeared, gone back into the drug community. And he said, as these children hit the schools, it's going to be an almost uncontrollable behavior problem because of the nature of these children not growing up correctly, being damaged by the drugs.
So we would say that the talk that I gave in 1964 really was a prophecy. Chemical chaos has actually happened, and a whole new breed of born children is being recognized by our chief of police.
So the chief sent me first over to Alvin Sato. He said there were two experts on the drugs on the island, Lieutenant Alvin Sato, who's in charge of the Juvenile Vice Division. So he is the person responsible for following up on leads regarding juvenile use of drugs, including alcohol. And we sat down and talked to him and asked him some of the things that would happen if they were given a tip about drugs. And he said, well, if they received a tip that had to do with someone at a school, they would notify the principal of the school. The principal would call in the student and search them. Now, in the case of students at school, it's not necessary to get a court order to search them. It's considered part of the right of the school to do that. And if they are found with drugs, the police will be called. The student will be handcuffed, taken to the police station, fingerprinted, photographed, booked, and his parents will have to pick him up. He'll be suspended from school on the spot until the matter is resolved.
Well, it's nice to see that our school system is so strict and working with the police. Here on Kauai, we really have an excellent police department.
Lieutenant Alvin Sato described a program called DARE, Drug Abuse Resistance Education, that the county had adapted from the Los Angeles Police Department. I was amazed to find that this program regarding drugs was being taught in the fifth grade to 10-year-old children. It was taught by police officers. It was a 14-week course, 45 minutes per week, and the officers would go to the school and teach the children how to say no to drugs, what drugs were like, and what the effect of drugs were upon them. I asked Lieutenant Rosa how effective this program was, and he said that the University of Hawaii had done a study on it and determined that the program was as effective as the individual officers were effective, and that if the officers had the necessary skills for teaching 10-year-olds, then, and they were very dedicated to the program, then it tended to work. Otherwise, it did not tend to work. It was determined to do it at the fifth grade level because the Los Angeles Police Department had determined this is the age when the children were most receptive to education and the officers can impact them. At a later age, it seems it was too late.
Well, we would like to put this program into our educational courses that go out all through Asia. We've been working very diligently for child abuse and beatings in the home and wife abuse. Actually, we've just had Kieran Beatty, who was the warden of the largest prison in the world in New Delhi, India, be guest of the government in the country of Mauritius, and also now in South Africa, are talking along these similar lines. And we want to talk to everybody out there in cyberspace. You can be missionaries. You can spread the word. We want a new age, but the new age cannot be built on artificial, dangerous substances. All of you out there who are in France and Italy and India and Sri Lanka, Norway, Sweden, Germany, who are listening to this, pass the word around. Be careful. Just say no. And don't risk your life, your reputation, or your freedom.